do breakfast prep. Then, both too exhausted to go anywhere, they took their pets upstairs. This time, Sissy sat cross-legged on the carpet to watch the pup and kitten play. Then decided that the sofa had lost its appeal without her on it, so he joined her. "How soon will you hire help?" he asked. "I'm looking forward to that movie and other outings. Maybe a stroll along Mystic Creek so we can fall madly in love." She fixed those guileless blue eyes on him. He saw pain in those depths. "I thought we already had." Ben's heart caught. Was she really that insecure?
"Sweetheart, I was just joking about the legend of Mystic Creek."
"Are you sure? If you don't love me, tell me now."
"Sissy, it was a joke. Of course I love you. I've never told another woman that, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart."
She relaxed and resumed watching the animals romp. Ben wished she would open up. Something had made her feel horribly insecure, and he wanted to know what it had been. He guessed she'd tell him about her past when she felt ready. Until then, he had to be patient. Instinct told him that pushing would get him nowhere and might cost him the ground he'd gained.
"So, tell me about your remodeling plans."
She smiled dreamily. "I want quality plank flooring, reclaimed barn wood if I can afford it, and new booths with a rustic look. I hate those chrome and formica things I have now. They're so 60s. And I'm thinking about some faux overhead beams as well. It's an old building. I think rich wood wainscoting will look fabulous. You may not have noticed, but a large percentage of my clientele is older. I'd like to draw in the younger set as well."
"You need more seating," Ben observed. "Most people come in alone or in pairs."
They discussed ideas on how to maximize the dining area space. She turned her gaze on him. "You're very observant. I didn't realize you were thinking about my renovations."
"Well, sure I have. It's hard not to notice when your cafe is packed that the people still waiting could be seated if you changed the booths and tables to accommodate 2 instead of 4.
And my cafe is approved by the fire marshal to hold more people already, so creating more seating would work great."
"And if we wall off at the bottom of the stairs, you could even put in a gas log fireplace there."
She scrunched her shoulders and then relaxed them with a sigh. "Oh, a fire would be perfect, especially on snowy winter evenings. It'd make the whole place seem cozy." She nodded.
"We've come up with some great ideas."
Ben got the fishing pole toy out and dangled the feathers in front of Patches. The kitten leaped for them, and so did Finn. Ben jerked the bait right out from under their noses. Both he and Sissy laughed as the game continued. It was a nice way to end the day. Knowing how early Sissy had to get up, Ben decided not to overstay his welcome.
"Well," he said, pushing to his feet, "I think it's about time for me to go home and hit the sack."
She nodded, her expression revealing regret. Ben wished she would invite him to stay longer, maybe even for the night. With other women, that was the norm. With Sissy, it wasn't. She hadn't even asked him to kiss her yet. Sissy walked downstairs with Ben and Finnegan. She told herself it was only because she needed to lock up after them, but she had other reasons as well. Ben had promised her that he wouldn't kiss her until she asked him to, and though the thought jangled her nerves, she wanted to do that tonight. When they reached the back door, Ben paused and turned to look at her. She could tell by the tender expression in his eyes that he yearned to take her into his arms. Gathering all her courage, Sissy said, "Ben, will you kiss me? Not on the forehead. A real kiss this time." He'd put his hat back on. With the bent knuckle of a forefinger, he nudged up the brim.
"I've been thinking about that, and I've concluded it might be better if you kiss me."
That was the last thing she had been expecting. "Me? Kiss you?" Her knees started to quiver. "No, that won't work."
"Why not? doesn't matter who takes the initiative, just as long as it happens.
Sissy couldn't think what to say. She settled for, I don't think I'll be very good at it. I don't know how.
Ben looked stunned. Pardon me?
I don't know how, she repeated.
Heat rose up her neck and pooled like fire in her cheeks.
It's a long story.
His dimple flashed in his lean cheek. How can that be possible? You're 26, young, smart, and beautiful. Dozens of guys must have kissed you.
Not dozens, she forced herself to say. Only a few, and they were, well, so rough and forceful that I was so busy trying to get away that I didn't learn much about kissing.
Sissy knew that she just opened a door, inviting Ben to ask questions she wasn't ready to answer. But instead he clenched his teeth, treating her to a spectacular display of rippling jaw muscle, which told her the information she just revealed made him angry. But almost before she registered that, his expression went tender again. He murmured something she couldn't quite catch, and then, ever so gently, he trailed his fingertip over her features, tracing the arch of her brows, the bridge of her nose, and the bow of her upper lip. His touch made her feel beautiful and cherished.
Sweetheart, kissing is sort of like dancing. All you have to do is follow my lead.
I've never danced either, remember? Not with a partner, anyway. I'd probably mash all your toes. His lips quirked in a quelled smile.
You're not heavy enough to mash my toes.
Then he bent his head, his gaze holding hers. Sissy didn't know what to expect. Ben feathered his lips over hers, the touch so gentle and airy and so tantalizing that she found herself leaning her head farther back to experience more of the same. And he delivered. His kisses were as light as the flutter of a butterfly wing. When he finally withdrew, her heart was pounding and her breathing had gone shallow.
That's it? She wondered. He'd never even put his arms around her.
He winked at her and pressed a quick kiss to her forehead.
Good night, Sissy, he said in a gravelly voice. Have sweet dreams.
The next instant, the door closed behind him. She listened to the rhythmic thumps of his boots as he descended the porch steps. Then she heard him call out to Finn. Trembling with aftershocks from the sensations he'd sent spiraling through her, Sissy locked the door behind him and leaned against it because she felt weak in the legs. Then a dreamy smile curved her lips. She had never been kissed like that. And oh, wow, she hoped he'd do it again. Only maybe with a little more pressure next time. Hands knotted over the steering wheel, Ben drove home with his teeth clenched with such force that his molars ached. Sissy had never learned how to kiss because she had always been too busy trying to escape. What kind of jerks treated a woman like that? Thinking about it made Ben wish he could take those guys apart. Now he understood her former aloofness. His brother Barney had pegged her right. She'd had some really lousy experiences. Once parked by his house, Ben cut the engine of his truck. Finn, who couldn't see much scenery during a drive at night, bolted upright from his snooze. Clearly the pup was waiting for Ben to exit the vehicle as usual to take a quick stroll around the ranch proper to check on the animals, Finn's favorite part of getting home. But Ben needed a moment to just stare out the windshield at nothing and breathe slowly. It wasn't often that he felt this angry. Slowly, his heart settled into a normal rhythm. His jaws stopped throbbing, and he was able to flex his fingers until his urge to make fists ebbed away.
Sissy.
He already missed her, and with only a limited knowledge of what she must have been through, he felt his affection for her deepen.
I love her, Finn. She's everything I ever wanted. Sweet, pretty, honest, caring, and responsible. But what if I make a wrong move with her and mess this up?
Finn tilted his head back, peered at Ben, and then let loose with a growl bark noise that he'd never made before. Feeling as if his skin might turn inside out, Ben opened the driver's side door, leaped to the ground, and called to his dog.
"Yes, Finnegan, we'll take a walk. God knows I need to burn off these feelings somehow."
The next night, Ben returned to the cafe just before closing time to help Sissy do after-dinner cleanup and prep. Afterward, he turned to Sissy and said,
"Let's go next door to the Straw Hat for dinner and then take in a movie. Patches and Finn will enjoy playing while we do the same."
She fiddled with her hair. "I look a fright."
"You look fabulous. Come on, just say yes."
She smiled and nodded. Within minutes, they were sitting in a booth at Jose's, keeping him open later than usual, but he didn't seem to mind.
"What a rare treat to see you here, Sissy," he marveled aloud. "Normally, you order takeout and I walk it next door."
"I'm playing hooky," she replied with a dimpled grin. "And afterward, we're walking over to the Mystic Players Theater. They have a late movie playing. We don't care what it is." Jose laughed.
"I hear it's an oldie but a goodie. Most films last only 90 minutes. You should still get a fair night's sleep."
Both Ben and Sissy ordered enchiladas with green sauce, filled with minced chicken, cheese, and rice. While they waited for their meals, they gazed at each other over flickering candlelight. It reminded Sissy of her imagined dinner with him at his house, and she smiled. She no longer felt threatened by the thought of her and Ben being an item. Sparking, as Christopher had called it. She told Ben she loved him, and she'd meant it. She just hoped he would still love her after she told him the sordid details of her life and parents.
"What?"
he asked, as if he read in her expression that something was troubling her. Sissy refused to lie to him. "I'm just thinking of all that I need to tell you. You have no idea where I come from."
"It doesn't matter. I'm just glad you're here."
It did matter, but Sissy didn't want to spoil the evening by worrying about it. After enjoying their meal, they walked to the town center and took the cobbled path that circled the city park. It was a crisp night, but when Ben took hold of Sissy's hand, his touch chased away the chill. When they reached the natural bridge, an amazing archway of stone created by the creek tunneling through it for hundreds of years, Ben let go of her hand to lock his arm around her shoulders. From across the stream, lights from Peck's Red Rooster glistened upon the churning water like gold nuggets that had rained from the starlit sky.
"Next time, I'll take you to eat there,"
Ben said, his deep voice vibrating lightly against her shoulder.
"I'll reserve a table that overlooks the stream."
Sissy hoped there would be a next time. Just as she looked up, he lowered his gaze, and as if a powerful magnet drew her toward him, she was suddenly gently cocooned in his strong embrace. The next instant, he kissed her. Not a light, nearly non-existent feathering of his lips over hers, but still more of an invitation than a demand. Sissy wanted to accept the offer, only she wasn't certain how.
"Slow and easy," he whispered against her lips. "Relax against me and let your lips go soft. I'll take it from there."
He felt so thick through his arms, shoulders, and chest, so deliciously warm with the night air still nipping at her back. As she had in her dream, she stepped up onto his boots to gain enough height to place her hands on his upper arms and press her nose against his throat to intoxicate herself with the scent of him. A delightful blend of male musk, cotton, a faint scent of soap, and a tantalizing masculine cologne. Being held in his arms made parts of her she hadn't acknowledged start to ache and then burn with need. He ran the tip of his tongue along the seam of her closed teeth, prompting her to open for him. When she did, she moaned with pleasure. This wasn't a slobbery and brutal rape of her mouth, but more a shy hello, with him cautiously dipping deeper for a better taste of her, and in the process, she got her first taste of him.
She felt his body shudder. Drawing his lips from hers, he murmured against her cheek.
I've wanted this for so long.
His voice sounded different, coarser, deeper, and tighter.
If you want me to let go, just tap my arm. No need to feel trapped or try to escape.
Sissy already knew that. Ben was different from any man she'd ever met. He resumed kissing her. Sissy wished it might never end. She had never wanted to be with a man. The experience was so new to her that she wasn't even certain what she actually yearned for from him. She'd watched films. She understood the nuts and bolts of sexual intimacy, but she wasn't quite certain how a couple went from heady kisses to actually doing the deed. When he finally lifted his head, he smiled down at her.
You are incredible,
he whispered. Sissy felt like a flower that had just opened its petals to the sun. So are you. Keeping one arm loosely encircling her back, he glanced at his watch.
Well, as incredible as we both may be, we're late for the movie.
They decided to go regardless. Ben bought a large tub of popcorn and a soft drink for each of them. Sissy didn't think she had room for a single bite, but she munched on the popcorn anyway. When a film scene cast relative darkness over the small theater, Ben licked the buttery salt from her lips and then dipped his tongue into her mouth. When light splashed over them, he ended the kiss. Ben whispered,
If my folks are here, my dad will tell me to go find a room.
Sissy giggled. So, when do you plan to take me to a room? He grinned at her.
When you're ready.
What if I'm ready now? His grin broadened.
Oh, no. I'll know when you are, and now isn't it.
As they walked home, Sissy asked, What was that movie about? Ben, back to holding her hand, threw back his head and laughed.
It beats the hell out of me.
That evening became the template for the nights that followed. Ben worked on the cat tunnels, went home to clean up, and returned to the cafe around a quarter after 8, smuggling Finn up the stairs to spend time with Patches in the flat. Sometimes he ordered a meal, always sitting beside Blackie at the counter to chat while he ate. And other nights, when he didn't eat, he flirted outrageously with Sissy with only his eyes. Either way, when the last customer left, he helped Sissy in the kitchen, and then he sometimes took her out for a meal or spent what was left of the evening with her upstairs, their only entertainment being kisses in between light conversational exchanges. Their time alone together became almost as important to Ben as breathing and nearly as automatic. Every second while Ben was with Sissy, he was acutely aware of her. He loved the smell of her even when she wore no perfume. The faint lavender scent of her soap, the clean, sweet smell of her hair, the velvety softness of her skin when they accidentally touched. He wanted her so badly that he often lay awake at night, aching with need. He struggled not to ask Sissy about her past. If he got her to talk about it, maybe he'd know how to move forward without fucking things with her up. But Ben hated it when people tried to make him share personal stuff before he felt ready, and he wouldn't do that to Sissy. She would talk about it when the moment felt right to her, and until then, he could only wait and love her with all his heart. He'd finally found that one special woman. A woman he wanted to stay with for the rest of his life. He instinctively knew that he would never grow bored with her. He'd learned during their evenings together that she was a witty conversationalist and had a quirky sense of humor. In a debate over whatever topic came up, she was quick on her feet and presented a well-conceived argument, but she never seemed resentful if he could convince her he might be right. So, as much as he longed to lose himself in her physically, Ben found satisfaction in other ways. With each passing day, she seemed more relaxed with him. That was a good sign. She became more spontaneous and laughed more often. When she sat beside him on the floor to play with Patches and Finn, she'd sometimes lean against him, inviting him to drape an arm around her and follow up with a deep, lingering joining of their mouths. She no longer stiffened and tried to pull away when he touched her. Instead, she went limp and pressed closer, comfortable with him, and sending him signals that she yearned for more. Ben felt it was wiser to wait. He'd know when Sissy was truly ready, and when she was, he'd linger over her for hours while he made love to her. But the time wasn't right yet. Sometimes, when he caught her off guard, he saw in her eyes a bewilderment and pain he couldn't understand. During those moments, he knew an awful memory had slipped into her mind. He wanted no unpleasant memories to come between them when he made love to her. None. One night, Finn, who'd worked cattle all morning and afternoon, crashed on the bed Sissy had made for him beside Patch's sleeping pad. Snoring softly, the dog was totally out of it, allowing Sissy and Ben to tussle gently with the kitten. Patches, who didn't seem to realize he had no front feet, played as any kitten might, grabbing at a toy or their hands as if he had paws.
"He's got metal," he told Sissy, lifting his arm slightly. "Look at him hug me tight. I think playing with Finn has been good for him. If he ever accidentally runs into a cat with claws, he'll bypass all the swatting maneuvers and jump in for a bear hug. Then he'll be able to use his teeth and his back feet to fight."
Sissy's eyes glowed with pleasure. "He's so smart. His stubs are still a tiny bit tender, but the other day he slipped out the door and tried to run down the stairs in front of me. When it started to hurt, he flipped around and went down backward."
"He's going to grow up and be a gorgeous tomcat."
Just then, Ben felt something crawl onto his lap. Finn was sacked out on his bed. Patches had a death grip on his wrist. Ben glanced down to see what the hell was on him, or more precisely, on the fly of his jeans.
"Holy mother freaking shit!"
Ben shook Patches loose from his arm, shoved Snickers off his lap, and leaped to his feet. It took everything he had not to scream like a girl.
"You little bastard! You bite me there, and you're one dead rat!"
Snickers sat up and worried his hands.
"No, damn it, his paws," Ben reminded himself.
Snickers looked up at him with bright, beady eyes, his expression inquisitive as if to say,
"What's your problem, man? I was just saying hello."
"Oh," Sissy said softly, with that same mama tone she used with Finn and Patches. "My sweet boy." She scooped the rat up in her hands and cuddled him close. Ben watched, struggling not to say,
"Don't let him near those gorgeous breasts. He could scar them for life."
She glanced up at Ben. "Don't be afraid, Ben. He won't hurt you." Okay, now Ben felt like a girl. And not just any girl, but a scaredy-cat girl who reacted to anything slightly alarming by shrieking, stomping her feet, and turning in circles. Sissy was probably surprised he hadn't jumped up on the coffee table.
"I'm not afraid of him. He just startled me, is all."
"Oh, good." Cupping Snickers with one hand, Sissy patted the carpet beside her. "Sit back down and make friends. He is such a sweet thing." Ben would have preferred to have a wisdom tooth dug out of his gum without Novocaine. But damn it, a guy had to do what a guy had to do. He crossed his ankles and sat down.
"If he bites me..."
"Oh, you big silly, look at him. I've only ever seen his teeth when he was eating a blade of wheatgrass."
"Trust me, he has teeth. And Jack says he'll have to be quarantined for 10 days if he bites. He could have rabies."
Sissy giggled. "Does he act like he has rabies? Look at him. And you? You're so big and strong. I can't believe you're afraid of a tiny guy like Snickers."
"I am not afraid of him."
"Okay," Ben thought, "so I'm afraid of something. Big deal."
"Let him go. I'm fine with it. Come here, Snickers."
Ben waggled his fingers at the rat, hoping against hope that the rat would think he was waving goodbye. Snickers did not read body language well. He scampered from Sissy's lap and leaped onto Ben's again.
Ben stared down at the rat sitting atop the most valued part of his anatomy. The rat reared onto its haunches, worried his hands again, and wiggled his whiskers. Ben's arms felt knotted and frozen, but he forced himself to cup his hands around one of the last creatures on Earth he wanted to touch. To his surprise, Snickers felt soft and warm. When he curled his front feet over Ben's thumbs, it was a friendly touch, nothing about it aggressive.
"Hi, little guy," Ben said. "I forgot to plug up all your ingress holes."
"Little bastard."
"I'll be sure to do that soon. You really shouldn't be around Patches. He might catch something from you."
"Oh my God, you're right." Sissy scrambled to stand, sounding so distressed that Ben felt guilty.
Well, almost.
It was absolutely true that Snickers might be carrying diseases. "I need a gift for him, something special. And then he'll leave to go put it in his nest."
"Scrunch up a piece of tinfoil," Ben said. "He'll love that."
While Sissy rummaged in the kitchen, Ben ran his fingertips over the rat's fur.
Maybe Sissy had it right, and rats weren't so bad.
Just then, Finn awakened and came up off his bed as if someone had just torched his tail. Teeth bared and hackles raised, the pup lunged across the floor.
"No,"
Ben said. Finn stopped dead.
"This is Snickers," Ben told the dog. "Friend, no."
A hangdog expression settled on Finn's mottled face. He sat down, curiously eyeing the rat. Ben would have urged Finn closer to touch noses and become acquainted, but Snickers was an animal that might be carrying diseases the pup wasn't vaccinated against. The sooner Snickers left, the better. That thought was followed by inarguable fact. Snickers had already contaminated the flat with any dangerous germs he might be carrying, and neither the pup nor the kitten had gotten sick.
"Don't let Finn hurt him!" Sissy cried.
"I won't, it's fine. Finn realizes now that even rats are welcome here."
Ben rolled his eyes at the dog. In a whisper, he said,
"Next she'll fall for a black widow."
"I made it into a nice small ball for Snickers," she called from the kitchen. "I pressed it tight. I don't want him to eat any foil."
"Good idea," Ben said, smiling to himself.
Snickers actually was cute, and he didn't seem at all inclined to bite. This rat wasn't a demon from hell. He was a little mammal with a cute face, inquisitive eyes, and a gentle nature. He was a key thief, though. It had cost Ben over $100 to replace his remote. Sissy returned and placed the shiny ball of foil in front of Snickers on her upturned palm. "What do you think, Snickers?" The rat grabbed the ball and leaped from Ben's hands like a flea off a dog's back. Then he was off. Ben turned to watch him leave.
"He's coming in and out through your bathroom."
"Yes, but he's entering the building somewhere downstairs. I hope after we rat-proof the place that we can find his nest. It was good to see him again. He's so sweet and dear."
"Tomorrow I need to get that done," Ben told her. "The rat-proofing, I mean. I've been so caught up in you that I forgot all about it."
Ben had to admit, if only to himself, that he could now tolerate the rat. But sweet and dear was carrying it too far. He joined Sissy in the bathroom to wash their hands with antibacterial soap. As they both scrubbed, Ben fantasized about getting her into a shower and running his hands all over her soap-slick body. If success were measured by a football field standards, he figured he was stuck on the 10-yard line. Showering with Sissy was so far off in his future that he couldn't even see the goalposts. Ben forced his mind to mundane matters. He needed to put a reminder on his phone to buy mountains of fine steel wool and fill every point of ingress in Sissy's building with the stuff. Then he needed to follow Snickers back to his nest so Sissy could go there to visit him.
"So, how's it going with your bookkeeping program?"
Ben almost groaned at her question.
"Don't ask."
She laughed. Give me your bank username and password and start bringing me all your receipts. Then I can download all your transactions. You do so many things for me. I certainly don't mind taking over your books. I'll just do yours when I do mine.
Really? I hate doing that crap.
Sissy laughed. I kind of enjoy it. Scan me copies of your checkbook register each month, too. A few minutes later, Ben decided it was time for him and his dog to head for home.
When are you going to hire some help downstairs? You won't have to get up so early then, and we can stay later.
A perfect reason to get an ad in the paper as soon as I find time. Normally, Sissy followed Ben and Finn downstairs to lock up after them. But tonight, she said, I'm going to spray with disinfectant just in case Snickers left germs. Do you mind saying goodnight up here? I'll run downstairs in a couple of minutes to lock up. Ben shook his head.
No, I don't mind.
Ben stepped in close, drew her gently into his arms, and kissed her goodnight. He ignored that goodnight felt more like hello, baby. He heard her breathing quicken and knew she was aroused. Restraining himself was one of the most difficult things he'd ever done. But even though he still didn't know the story of Sissy's life, he did know that the greatest gifts he could give her were time and the privilege to decide when she wanted their kisses to take them to a deeper level. She'd give him a sign when she got there. He stepped away, touched his hat, and said,
Good night. Sleep tight.
Once outside on Sissy's porch, Ben took a couple of minutes to stand and breathe deeply. Sissy hadn't been alone in growing aroused during that kiss. He felt as if his dick had turned into an ear of field corn. And damn it, his testicles ached like a son of a bitch. He needed a woman, but it couldn't be just any woman. His carousing days in Crystal Falls were over. He thought he heard Sissy come downstairs. Then he heard the lock click and knew for sure she had.
Okay, he said to his dog. I can finally walk straight now.
Ben set off toward his parked truck. He'd just unlocked the doors with his remote when a shrill scream came from Sissy's building. Before Ben could turn around, the scream came again. Fear such as he'd never felt in his life slammed into him. Sissy. Something horrible had happened. As he ran, he could only pray that he could bulldoze his way through the back door. Chapter 15. Ben hit the porch with a flying leap, struck the door with all his might, and then nearly fell to the floor in a tangle with the stout frame and planked portal. Scrambling to keep his balance, he yelled, Sissy, where are you? She screamed again, apparently in too much agony to speak. The stairs. Oh, God, Ben thought. Those damned steep stairs. He raced along the hallway through the storage rooms, veered right once inside the cafe, and nearly fell over Sissy, who lay sprawled on the floor near the bottom step. She tripped, he guessed, which, unless she was on ice, was so atypical of Sissy, so nimble and quick on her feet. Ben knelt beside her. Her face had drained of color and turned chalk gray.
What happened? Talk to me, honey. Where are you hurt?
She bared her clenched teeth. He watched her struggle to speak. Right leg. But low knee. Ben grabbed his phone and dialed 911. He perused Sissy's leg. No blood had seeped through her jeans. Good sign. But he knew that the bone had to be fractured. One thing he'd learned about Sissy over the last month was that she didn't get dramatic when she got hurt. He remembered when she'd slipped on the ice, landed hard enough on her butt to crack her tailbone, and then smacked the back of her head on the frozen ground with enough force to knock some people unconscious. Never once had she so much as shed a tear, let alone screamed.
This is Ben Sterling. There's an emergency at the Cauldron, he half-yelled into his phone. Get here fast! Sissy Bentley, fall on the stairs. I think she's fractured her right tibia.
He thrust the phone back in his pocket as soon as he knew help was on the way.
It's okay, honey. The paramedics are on their way.
She'd stopped screaming as soon as she saw him. It was one thing to scream for help,
but she'd clench her teeth until they chipped before she reacted to the pain in front of an audience. She turned her head sideways, closed her eyes, and bit down on her lower lip. Ben heard sirens, but damn it, they sounded distant. Sissy was hurt, really hurt. "Hurry the hell up," he silently urged them. Why weren't they here? The fire station was at the edge of town on North Huckleberry. What was taking so long? Ben knew the wait seemed like an eternity to Sissy. In that moment, he would have given almost anything to take her place. She was such a little gal and fragile. Never should she have to endure pain like this. After what seemed like hours, Ben saw headlights sweep over the wall. The sirens went quiet as the screech of braked tires sounded on the street.
"I gotta go let him in. I'll be right back. Just hold on, sweetheart."
Ben dashed for the front door, turned the key in the lock, and swung the glass barrier wide. Tyler Ryder, the fire chief, spilled out the driver's side of the red ambulance. The rear doors opened, and Cheryl Moses leaped out onto the asphalt, a large medical bag clutched in one hand. A petite blonde, she didn't look strong enough to be a firewoman and paramedic, but she performed as well as any man, sometimes better. Ryder sped through the opening, acknowledging Ben with only a jerk of his head. Having dined at the cafe, he didn't need directions to the stairs. Talking on his cell phone, he raced to the back of the restaurant to crouch over Sissy, with Cheryl close on his heels. Cody Charles, a young Mel Gibson lookalike who'd been riding shotgun with Ryder, reached the door last, steering a folded gurney ahead of him. Ben began shoving chairs and tables out of the way to form a wider path for Sissy to be ferried out. When he got back to the woman he loved, he couldn't get close enough to let her know he was there. Cheryl was palpating Sissy's body to check for other injuries. Then she grabbed scissors from the bag and cut the right leg of Sissy's jeans open from hem to thigh. Sissy's shin had already turned bright red with a blue tint, telling Ben that blood welled beneath her skin.
"Horizontal but stable," Cheryl said to Ryder. "That's my guess, anyway."
Sissy began to breathe fast, each intake shallow. Cheryl pushed her bag open wider.
"Nitrous. Authorization to administer. Great deal of pain here, Chief."
Ryder echoed Cheryl's words into the phone and gave his paramedic a thumbs up. Ben decided the fire chief was talking with medical personnel at St. Matthew's in Crystal Falls, the closest facility that could handle anything serious. Cheryl put a mask over Sissy's mouth and nose. Seemingly from out of nowhere, Chandler Oliver appeared with a portable tank. Within seconds, Sissy was breathing the gas, and the rise and fall of her chest slowed. Her dark lashes swept up and down over her glazed blue eyes. Next, Cheryl slipped an uninflated neck brace under Sissy's head, fastened it at her chin, and started squeezing an oval-shaped rubber pump. The brace billowed quickly to stabilize Sissy's cervical spine. Then Cheryl and Chandler slid a bodyboard under Sissy, both of them taking as much care as possible not to move her. Ben's knees felt as if they'd turned to jelly. After a fall like that, Sissy could have other broken bones or even have a spinal fracture. Ben was forced back when the crew of three lifted Sissy onto the gurney, which Chandler had unfolded.
"I'll insert the IV en route," Cheryl barked. "Let's go! Move it, guys! Let's go!"
Ben ran after them. He stood on the sidewalk and watched as Sissy was put into the ambulance. She seemed to be in less pain now. Cheryl jumped in back with her patient. Tyler Ryder met Ben's gaze as he strode the length of the vehicle to get back in the driver's seat.
"You can follow us," he said. "No room for you in there. They'll be in close contact with the hospital and working on her as I drive. She'll get some intravenous analgesic on the way. My guess is she broke only the leg, but we won't know for sure until they take x-rays."
Ben stepped up to the door as the chief climbed inside the cab.
"Tell her..."
He broke off and swallowed.
"Tell her I love her, and I'm right behind the ambulance."
Just as the ambulance left, a county sheriff's truck sped around the corner and parked at an angle at the curb. Barney jumped out and slapped on his Stetson as he leaped onto the sidewalk.
I was way out on Seven Curves Road when I got the call. What happened?
She fell on the stairs. I was about to leave when I heard her scream. Barney strode inside and went straight to the stairs with Ben right behind him. His trained gaze swept the scene for clues. Then he jabbed a finger and asked,
"What the hell is that round silver thing?"
Ben scanned the risers. On a step below the apartment door, he saw the foil ball that Sissy had given Snickers. Oh, God, it's a sparkly thing she made for a pack rat. After she locked up, she must have stepped on it going back up the stairs. Look, I'll explain later, okay? I'm out of here. I'm following the ambulance. Ben stepped into the hall. I busted down the back door. That has to be fixed. Her place can't be left wide open all night. He stopped mid-stride. Finnegan is around here somewhere. The kitten's upstairs. Can you take care of them until I make it back here?
Barney nodded.
I'll call in the troops. Just go. Got it handled. Keep your damned foot out of the carburetor.
Ben knew the troops meant his family. His heart welled with gladness that he had such a great support system, but only for an instant. Then, all he could think about was Sissy, how bad her injuries might be, and how he would manage to take care of her without everything at his ranch going to hell in a handbasket. It took Bloody forever to reach St. Matthew's. Ben had to find a slot in visitor parking while the emergency vehicles circled in under the ER portico. By the time he reached the automatic sliding doors, Sissy was nowhere to be seen. At the front desk, Ben identified himself as Sissy's brother. He knew he'd never get information about her condition unless he lied. He learned that she'd been taken into the bowels of the emergency care section.
"I'm glad you're here, Mr. Sterling," the receptionist said. "She's got no ID on her. The paramedics from Mystic Creek knew her name, but we need a lot more information. Can you go to admitting and fill out some paperwork for her, please?"
Shit. Ben knew so many little personal things about Sissy that, collectively, they'd become huge. But he was sadly lacking in knowledge to fill out admittance information for her. A stern-looking woman gave him a clipboard to which were attached forms. He went to sit on a black vinyl chair. Filling out the paperwork was a bitch. He lied and said his parents were her mother and father. He guessed at harmless answers, but when he got to medical history, he couldn't make things up. Why in the hell had he never asked Sissy if she'd undergone any surgeries, or if she was allergic to anything, especially medications? He couldn't even get online and try to hunt down her parents. She'd never told him their names. Ben got up and approached the desk. The harassed woman gave him an unsmiling look. Ben handed her the clipboard.
This medical history? I can't fill it out. She left home at 18, so for the last 8 years we haven't been in close contact. Plus, brothers and sisters don't talk about health stuff much.
That's fine, the woman said as if she'd heard all this before. She grabbed the clipboard. When she comes back around, a nurse can ask her questions.
Relieved, Ben resumed his seat. That lasted 10 seconds. He paced. He sat. He paced. He didn't want to go to the John for fear a doctor might come out and not find him. If not for that damned rat, Sissy wouldn't be in the hospital. Deep down, Ben knew it was more his own fault than it was Snickers. If he had only rat-proofed the building when he should have, none of this would have happened. Finally, a doctor in pale green scrubs entered the waiting room. They sat in a quiet corner to talk. The man was taking Sissy in for surgery. He explained to Ben what he planned to do, saying something about a metal brace and bolts in the bone, but none of the words sank into Ben's brain. His stomach bunched into knots. His heart felt as if it was pounding hard enough to crack his ribs. After that one-sided conversation, all Ben could do was wait. It seemed to him that hours passed before the doctor entered the waiting area again, and once more Ben could barely register what he said. All that stuck in his gray matter was that no invasive surgery had been necessary. The horizontal fracture of the tibia was stable, whatever the hell that meant, and over time, it would heal. After what seemed like forever, Ben was informed by a weary-looking CNA that Sissy had been moved from recovery to a private room. Family members could see her there now.
"She may be asleep," the assistant warned. "She came out from under the anesthesia fine, and now we want to let her rest as long as possible."
Ben found the elevators and went up to locate the room. As he stepped inside, he could barely make out Sissy's small form on the hospital bed. The lights had been dimmed. She lay with her arms at her sides and her injured leg elevated on pillows. Through the sheet and blanket, he could detect the unnatural angles and shape of either a brace or a cast. A beige chair that looked as if it reclined was positioned at the far side of the bed. Ben, taking care not to let his boots rap on the tile, circled to take a seat. He'd just gotten settled when a plump older woman with faded red hair entered the room. She checked Sissy's IV tube, giving it a flick with her middle finger. Then she glanced briefly at the digital screen to check Sissy's vitals.
"So, you are Ms. Bentley's brother?"
Startled by the question, Ben said,
"I was told to be quiet."
The woman chuckled.
"Our talking won't disturb her. She's still sleepy from the anesthesia, and I just added some analgesic to her IV. A nice slow drip of la-la land to keep her comfortable. A horizontal fracture that goes clear through the bone is extremely painful."
Ben tried to swallow. His throat was parched.
"Did the doc put bolts in her leg? I remember him saying he might. But when he talked with me later, my brain took a vacation."
"It wasn't necessary. It's a stable break."
"What does that mean?"
The nurse smoothed Sissy's hair back from her forehead, something he'd longed to do himself.
"Well, it means that although the bone is broken all the way through, it was forced only slightly out of alignment. With stable fractures, a surgeon will sometimes apply a metal brace on the outside of the leg to support the compromised bone. He secures that brace by drilling a bolt into the bone above and below the break."
A swirling grayness overtook Ben's mind. Bolts in her bone?
"This young lady was very lucky. Her tibia remained almost aligned, and the surgeon was able to shift it slightly. He decided that a boot brace will temporarily work to support it. When the leg stops swelling, he'll apply a regular cast."
She pulled up the sheet and blanket to reveal the large red boot on Sissy's leg, which reached to hug her thigh.
"I'm going to unfasten the straps on this to have a peek. If her leg is swelling, I'll need to make adjustments. The trick is to keep the bone firmly supported while allowing room for swelling, so every hour I need to check on her."
Ben thought he had a strong stomach, but he battled against an urge to gag when he saw Sissy's discolored and swollen leg.
"It's not pretty," the older woman observed, "but open fractures are worse. The bruising and swelling will slowly dissipate."
That wouldn't happen fast enough to suit Ben.
"What'll happen if the leg swells more than you expect before you return to check on her again?"
"We can watch her on the monitors and know if she gets uncomfortable. Plus, I'll be checking once an hour until we get through the rapid swelling phase."
She smiled as she refastened the boot.
"For a brother, you're very devoted."
Ben met the woman's gaze. He'd always been a lousy liar, and he saw no point in testing his talent now.
"Please don't kick me out of here. I'm the closest thing to family that she has."
"Boyfriend? Significant other?"
"Friend, aiming for lover."
A broad grin moved over the woman's mouth.
"She has an aunt and uncle out in the third floor waiting room."
Ben's heart leaped with hope.
"She does?
Thank God, maybe they know her medical history."
The nurse chuckled.
"I suspect they're just more friends who love her so much that they'll lie to see her. The uncle's name is Fred Black."
"Blackie's here?"
Ben sighed.
"If Sissy could pick an uncle, he'd be it."
"And her aunt is a woman named Marilyn Fears."
"Ah, Marilyn."
Ben dredged up a smile and gave the nurse an imploring look.
"Please don't give them their walking papers. Sissy needs people who love her right now."
The woman shrugged.
"I'm old school. You say you're her brother, they say they're her aunt and uncle.
until she wakes up and tells me differently, you're blood relatives as far as I'm concerned.
Ben wanted to hug her.
Are there visitation rules? I mean, like, are you going to chase me out of here at the stroke of midnight?
Visitor hours end at 10.
She glanced at the wall clock. It read 10 minutes after 12.
A few CNAs will come in throughout the night. I'll tell them it is in her best interest to have one family member in the room with her in case she wakes up.
She held up a rigid forefinger.
One. Tell the aunt and uncle that they can come in separately and not to wake her. The longer she sleeps, the better. When she does wake up, she'll be in a lot of pain. We'll be on it. Only one person can sit with her all night. I'm assuming that will be you.
Ben nodded. Damn straight it would be him, even if he had to arm wrestle Blackie. He wouldn't leave Sissy unless he was carried out of there. And he figured, with a little ego to make him feel invincible, that it would take 4 men and a stun gun to accomplish that.
I appreciate your breaking the rules to let me be with her.
The nurse grabbed the clipboard, jotted some notes, and then turned to leave the room. I never break hospital rules.
Ben detested leaving Sissy, but he wandered up the hall to find Blackie and Marilyn. While they each took turns going in to sit with Sissy, Ben found a John and then went downstairs to the cafeteria, where free coffee was kept in large pump carafes. Chilled sandwiches and salads were available in a vending cooler. Ben considered eating, but his stomach roiled. He filled a couple of coffee cups for Blackie and Marilyn. Blackie had tears in his eyes when Ben joined them in the waiting room.
She's awake, sort of. Throwing her head, mumbling. They're giving her something to ease her up.
Ben handed over the coffee, then gave Marilyn a hug and Blackie a strong handshake.
Now that you've both seen her, you need to go home and get some sleep. I'm staying. I'll remind her you were here.
Thank you for caring so much. I'd stay and chat with you.
But you can't stand not to be with her, Marilyn interrupted.
We understand. Just go.
Smiling his appreciation, Ben pivoted on 1 foot and headed for Sissy's room, hoping to get there and speak to her before the pain medication sent her under again. He had no idea what he meant to say. He just wanted her to know he was with her. He had a bad feeling that Sissy had never really had someone always in her corner. Ben resumed his seat in the chair beside Sissy's bed. A CNA had just given her a dose of something in her IV tube, but even when only half awake, she tossed her head on the pillow and mumbled under her breath. She was so pale. Then, as if an alarm had gone off inside her head, her eyes popped open.
It hurts. It hurts.
Ben got up and leaned over her.
I'm here, honey.
Her blue eyes, glazed and unfocused, melded with his.
Help me, Ben. The pain. Bad.
Ben had been kicked once by a bull and fractured his femur. He'd never forgot the agony of it, and his break hadn't gone clear through the bone. He grabbed Sissy's patient remote and pushed the red button. When the old nurse bustled into the room, he said,
She's hurting. She's not a complainer. It's bad. I know they gave her something, but she needs more.
The nurse bent over Sissy. She didn't ask questions.
You're right.
She left the room and returned moments later to administer Sissy a dose of something through the IV.
That'll do the trick. Lights out for at least 4 hours.
Judging by how you look, I'd say you'd be wise to grab a nap while she does.
After the woman left, Ben watched Sissy until the medication took hold. He saw her grind her teeth. He counted the creases that sprang forth on her sweet face as her body tightened to stifle a scream. His heart felt as if it were being ripped apart. But as much as that hurt, her agony was worse. After the medication took effect, she drifted to sleep, and he slumped in the chair, tipped his hat low over his eyes, and tried to rest. It was 4 in the morning. He needed a couple of winks because he suspected Sissy would need him when she resurfaced. And he would be there for her, no matter what. Sissy's hospital stay became a blur for Ben. He slept when he could, ate when she was fast asleep, and became almost robotic with exhaustion. Sometimes she jerked awake, worrying aloud about Patches being alone. Ben assured her that the kitten was being well cared for by members of his family. Another time, she came wide awake, concerned about her restaurant. When Ben told her that he would operate her business until she was able to work again, she told him how Crystal Malloy liked her eggs. And suddenly it hit Ben that Sissy wouldn't be able to run the cafe for a long while, and that it was her only source of income. He soothed her back to sleep. Then he slipped from her room to call Brett, telling him that he'd have to take over at the ranch until otherwise notified. Brett was a good man, great with horses, but he wasn't a trainer, and Ben was boarding two horses that needed behavioral modification at his place. Leaning against the hallway wall, he hung his head, trying to think of someone who could take over for him. Ben thought of his dad. Was he still in good enough shape to work with difficult equines? Ben straightened out of his slump, drew his cell phone from his pocket, and dialed his father's number. It was only 7:30 in the morning, but Jeremiah answered quickly, sounding bright and chipper.
"Hey, Dad, I've got a question for you. Are you still able to work with problem horses?"
Jeremiah laughed.
"Well, I'm not using a cane yet, and I still ride every day. Besides, it's been my experience that working the quirks out of a horse requires more intuition and good sense than it does muscle."
Ben couldn't have agreed more.
"So?"
Eagerness rang in Jeremiah's voice.
"Don't get me all excited and then disappoint me."
"You're excited about working with horses again?"
Jeremiah laughed.
"Hell yes. I wouldn't want to do it full-time, but I'd love the opportunity to work with horses every once in a while. Your mother has me making Christmas tree ornaments, for God's sake."
Ben smiled.
"Say no more. I'd be going nuts."
Ben gave his father the rundown on the horses he had.